I have called my sermon today, Jesus the Ultimate Pioneer. Paul sparked off in me last week some things I want to say about pioneering, using the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and what he did specifically with the woman at the well. Now, a definition of a pioneer could be this: a person who is among those who first enter or settle a region, thus opening it for occupation and development by others. And if you think about the history of this church, the history of the people who have been part of this church, those who were there then, who are here now, and those who will come in the future, we are part of a church that began by pioneering. People came and they said there needs to be an evangelical, Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled church in this region. And they met together, and look what has happened. Now, Jesus is the first and ultimate pioneer. Jesus is God. Jesus lived in heaven. In so many ways, when that fall came, not only was Adam and Eve expelled from the garden, and we heard last Wednesday that was a thing of grace so that they did not live for eternity in their sin. They moved out of the garden, but also God was moved out of the earth. He used to walk personally on the earth, but God had to leave. Holiness and sinfulness do not mix. And so Jesus is the pioneer. He came back to earth. God came back personally from heaven to earth as a human being. Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven down to earth, and he was the pioneer from heaven, the man from heaven who is going to pioneer God's kingdom once again on this planet to save people from their sins and to bring them into the kingdom of heaven on earth. And in that sense, Jesus is the ultimate pioneer, and our faith is a pioneering faith. And Paul said that very clear at the end of Matthew. Go into all the world. Take it for the kingdom of God. Love it. Love people into the kingdom. So our faith, our church, our founding of this church is a pioneering church. Our Bible passage, to turn to that 43, well read again, Sheila, extremely well read. I didn't see any errors there at all. Bible passage, Jesus shows us how to pioneer. Jesus is someone who doesn't expect us to do anything he hasn't done himself. So he comes as the good teacher, and he demonstrates personally how to do it. And so it's okay to copy Jesus. It's absolutely brilliant. You know, I try doing painting. For me, it's a lot easier to copy a painting than for me to really think of a brand new painting. I'm not that gifted. And not all of us are that gifted when it comes to talking to people or some form of evangelism or sharing Jesus. But we can just copy what Jesus did. We can learn from him and do what he did. And actually copying the teacher is a really good way to learn, isn't it? And to learn how to do it very well. So I want to tell you some things that Jesus did that we can learn from. And I want to talk about Jesus crossing barriers. To be a pioneer means that you go somewhere. You're crossing some form of barrier. And there's a number of barriers or a number of lines that Jesus crossed in this story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And the first one I want to talk about is Jesus crosses and crossed in our story geographical and racial divides. Now, we as Salt Church are crossing a geographical boundary because actually Los Alcáceres is not in the Valencian region. It's in the Murcian region. So we as Salt Church are now following Jesus. We're crossing a geographical line, and it has different rules and regulations. I do feel for Andy and Lynn, who are going to pastor the church under Salt Church, because now they've got to do all their paperwork again. They're in a different region. They do things differently down there, and they've got to go through the process all over again. So do lift them up in your prayers. Now, for us, it's a relatively short journey. 25 minutes, half an hour down the road. And our reading tells us in verse 4, I'm sure you remember verse 4 extremely well. If you've got your Bibles over, Albert's got his Bible over, he's looking at it, I can see him. Verse 4 says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. The Bible says that Jesus had been somewhere and he was going to go somewhere else, but he had to go through Samaria. But actually, I want to tell you, oh no, he didn't. He did not have to go through Samaria. In fact, the Jews, the Jewish rabbis, the religious people did everything that they could do to avoid Samaria altogether. They would extend their journey to go around Samaria rather than go through Samaria. The tradition of the day was Jews did not go through Samaria. And I will tell you why. The reason is easy. It's because of racism. You see, the Samaritans were a mixed race. They were half Jew and half Gentile. They had emerged from the Jews when they were expelled from the land or they were dispersed, and they mingled and they integrated with the local population. And so they were a mixed race. The Samaritans were a mixed race. Now, the Bible says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. The people of the day would avoid going through Samaria, but Jesus actually did have to go through Samaria. And why? This is the reason why. Jesus was going to cross geographical and racial divides. He had a divine appointment with this woman at the well. From before time began, God knew in his foreknowledge that when Jesus was on earth, there's a divine appointment. Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing, and here's one of the appointments in the diary of eternity. Jesus, you have an appointment on a certain day in Samaria at 12 o'clock noon with a woman at the well. So Jesus actually had to go through Samaria because of this divine appointment. You and I, we've crossed some geographical divide. We've come to live in Spain. We live in a different country. We visit a different country. If we're here on holiday, and if we're here for 3 or 4 months, we are in two cultures, two different countries. Now, the reason that we are here is the same reason that Jesus crossed geographical divides. We are here like Jesus. Jesus is going to bring the gospel, the good news of life and living water to this woman at the well. He was going to do amazing things in this divine appointment. And we have been called by God for our own divine appointment in our lives, in this season of our lives, to actually be pioneers and to bring the kingdom of God to this region, as Jesus brought the kingdom of God to earth and to that particular woman. We are, as I've said, pioneers in a land that actually does not have the gospel of Jesus. If you know quite a bit about Spain, if you look at Spain, its religions, its practices, it's steeped in tradition, it's steeped in false religion, and a shed load. Can I say shed load? Shed load means a lot of. It means a carload or a lorry load of pagan practices. It's all mixed in under the guise of religion, but every village, so it seems, every town, every city has its own kind of superstitious type of festival. And many sorts and the roots of many of them are actually steeped in paganism. So we are here as God's people to bring the truth of the gospel, to bring the living waters of the gospel, and to water this land as best we can in Spain. And here at Salt Church, we have people who speak different languages. English might not be their first language. They might have come from Sweden or Belgium or the Netherlands or Scotland or Wales or England, all of those places. We're a mixed bunch of people from many different cultures and backgrounds and languages. We do speak English. We're an English-speaking church. But we're not limited just to English people. We're limited to Our limitation is just English. But many people, praise be to God, speak English. And they like to speak English. And coming to church, they can learn a bit more English. But they can hear the gospel of Jesus. So we're pioneers. Sometimes it might seem in a bit of a strange land. But we have crossed already geographical lines. Jesus did that. He had to go through Samaria because he had a divine appointment. What is your and mine divine appointment? Well, actually, I know what mine's all about. You know, I didn't know why I was coming when I came, but looking at the building, I now know why it was me. So, you know, it's becoming clear what God's call on my life is to help Salt Church to found, develop, to expand, to be secure in every way, and I hope to grow. I hope to grow personally as individuals serving Jesus, but that what Jesus did with this woman, we will do to those who come in. Or we will go out and meet those people like Jesus did, and they will hear about Jesus loves you. Jesus can give you living water. Jesus can save you from your sins. Now, the second thing is that Jesus crossed tradition and gender divide. So the first one is geographical and racial. You know, a Samaritan to a Jew, they would spit. It was pretty serious. So Jesus is doing something completely countercultural. He's taking a risk. He's pioneering into places where people haven't gone. But the second thing that Jesus did is he crossed traditions, religious traditions, and significantly at that time, 2,000 years ago, he crossed the gender divide. Wowzers. Jesus really shook stuff up when he was on earth. And in our story, Jesus has his divine appointment at 12 o'clock noon with the Samaritan woman at the well. Woman means not a man. It means a female, a woman. And you know that, but I'm emphasizing it. Because, imagine it, in the time of Jesus, Jesus meets a woman, she's on her own, and he is on his own. They meet in the middle of the day at the central point of the village by the well, but no one else is there, and it's extremely hot. And we have all the clues that we need. She was an outcast from her own community. She was a Samaritan, so she was culturally correct. But her lifestyle made her an outcast from her own community. Normally, the women would all go together at the well. They draw water in turn. They would talk about what they were cooking that night. They would have a nice chat together as women. They would build one another up. They talk about the politics of the village, maybe. But this woman is excluded from the women. And a woman cannot be seen with a man on her own. And in Judaism, you can't touch a woman other than your wife or your immediate family. There's a strong tradition of the position of women. And Jesus is in that culture. And he's going to blow it apart. He's going to cause real shock and surprise to the disciples. When I was a prison chaplain, I loved the Jewish rabbi, and I loved him to pieces. He was always smiling. He really knew his Old Testament. He knew some of the New Testament as well. But I always remember on first meeting Helena, he came into the office, and I told Helen all about the Jewish rabbi, what a great guy he was. And Helena stood up, and she thrust out her hand, and she went to him to shake his hand and say, "It's nice to meet you." And he went, "Ooh!" And he ran away, and he put his hands up, and he was pushing her away. "You can't touch me, or rather, I can't touch you. If I touch you, it's a sign of disrespect in the tradition of Judaism. And in our tradition, it's incredibly rude, isn't it? When you put out your hand to shake hands, whether you're a man or a woman, It's a sign of friendship. It's a sign of, you're okay and I'm okay. Let's be friends. But in Judaism, he couldn't touch Helena. He refused to shake her hand. And I saw Helena stiffen a little bit. Because it's a clash of tradition. It's a clash of culture. And these were the things that were happening in Jesus' day. There was the position of a woman was very different to the position of a man. And Jesus is crossing tradition and gender divides. And he does something amazing for this woman. So first, what Jesus was doing, first, she's a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans didn't get on. And second, now she's a woman. And at the end of the conversation, in verse 27, we read, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Now, that sounds a bit soft, doesn't it? The disciples turn up and they're surprised at Jesus. They're just surprised. Actually, when you look at what the word means, the word actually means they marveled. They marveled at Jesus meeting the woman on his own. Another meaning for marveled is they were amazed. They marveled, they were amazed. Or, to get its full force, they were aghast that Jesus was seen alone with a Samaritan and a woman at the well. They were aghast. They were shocked. In fact, they were so shocked, but they respected Jesus so much, they couldn't say anything to him. No one asked anything. They were steeped in their tradition. They were too scared to challenge him. They should have challenged him and said, you shouldn't be doing this. They were too scared. They were aghast at what Jesus was doing. So Jesus, the ultimate pioneer, he crosses the boundaries of geography and country. Now it's race and gender. And the third thing is, Jesus now crosses the prejudiced and the judgmental divide. This woman is not only a Samaritan and a woman, but now she is a woman of ill repute. She is a woman of ill repute in her own culture. And Jesus knew her situation. Verse 18, Jesus says this. Actually, the fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. You see, Jesus knows everything about everyone. He's listening to the Holy Spirit, and he can put his finger on all of the issues. He opens up for this woman. He's sharing with her, I know who you are. I know why you're here in the heat of the day, drawing water on your own, because you are an outcast. People are prejudiced against you, and people are judgmental against you, and they have pushed you out. This woman had no friends, drawing water at the worst time of the day. In fact, I'm sure that when she walked and there were other people around, they probably would have hurled insults at her. They would have shunned her. What a lonely life this woman is leading. She was a woman of ill repute. Now, I've said before that as Christians, we are not called to judge non-Christians. We're not here as Christians to judge anybody. We're not here to be prejudiced against anybody. We have our stand and our standpoint about issues where there are things and lifestyles that we don't agree with, but we're not here to judge non-Christians. I did actually say in the past that we are here to judge the body of Christ, to judge one another, and I want to correct something here because I've been challenged recently. I do not mean as Christians that we should be judging one another, pointing out people's sins, whether a brother or a sister. I do not mean that type of judgment. Scripture is clear. We're not to pass judgment on anyone. This is God's realm to judge people. However, I remind you that when we judge or point, we've got the three fingers pointing back at ourselves. So we're not called to judge people. However, we are called to make some form of judgments within the parameters of good doctrine and good lifestyle, biblical lifestyle, to help and support people if life is going terribly wrong. We might need to draw alongside someone and support them and point something out which is hard to do, but we must do it in love. And the center is to help them live a good, productive life. And I've had the privilege of meeting lots of people, whether they've been alcoholics, indeed prostitutes, whether they've been drug addicts, and actually drawing alongside and through loving and a church loving, turning their lives around so that they've repented, they've received Jesus, and they're living lives. And many of those people are now in church leadership, praise God. They've come from one pit, the dark pit, and they've been elevated to the mountaintop, and they have learned and been discipled well. And that is the sort of church that we need to be, drawing alongside people, helping them move forward in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was not judgmental to this woman. Jesus is a pioneer with a divine appointment to meet her, to go to the outcast, to go to the unlovely, and he's there for a purpose, to bring the truth of the gospel to this woman. Jesus had a higher purpose. He is going to give this woman living water. He's going to set her free so that from then on, her relationship with God becomes real, dynamic, and true, and that will change her lifestyle. Out of what we believe and what we have received as truth from God, then our lifestyle starts to change. I have seen many a drug addict come to Jesus, get clean, repent, and because of their belief that God loves them, their identity is in Christ, they've gone on to be worship leaders, fantastic preachers because they've been there. Fantastic preachers because they've been there. So Jesus has now crossed the prejudice and the judgmental divide. The appointment is with the one outside the circle. And now Jesus is going to cross the religious divide. I don't know if you've picked this up from the story, and I hope you're getting something from this. Jesus is the ultimate pioneer, and as we've seen, no area is banned from Jesus tackling it. No area is banned from Jesus tackling it. Geography, tradition, prejudice, and now Jesus is going to talk religion. They always say, you mustn't talk religion, and you shouldn't act with children. One will get, they'll both get you into trouble, because the children will outdo you. Because everyone will go, ah. And I remember when we had an eight-year-old, I think he might have been six with his first sermon. And in our previous church, we had someone who really knew his Bible, and he was quite young, and we wanted to encourage him. And as part of the kids' church, he came and he delivered a four-minute sermon. One of the best sermons I've ever heard. To deliver the truth about God and salvation and relationship with God in 4 minutes is pretty good. And he did a great job, and he's still doing really well. He's grown up quite a bit now, but he's still doing really well. But now Jesus is going to cross the religious divide. And we got this bit when the woman said, we Samaritans, you know, we worship on this mountain, but you Jews tell us we're wrong, and we should worship in Jerusalem. And you see, the Samaritan thought that worship God was related to a certain place. You know, when you leave here, you don't just worship God in this space. We call it a church building. You're the church. This is a building. The building is not the church. You know this. You are the church. So when you go out, you take Jesus with you. And you worship God in the correct New Testament way, spirited in truth, wherever you are. But the Samaritan thought, we have to worship on this certain mountain. And it's in verse 20. And this mountain was Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim. And this showed their outward form of religion. And the Samaritans believed then, 2,000 years ago, and actually the Samaritans are still around today, they believe today the same thing, that they need to be worshipping God on Mount Gerizim. And Mount Gerizim is a place where Moses in the Old Testament had ordered people to protect this mountain and to worship God by making pilgrimages to this mountain three times a year. There was a tradition. That's where you worship God. There was a tradition. It's still true today. But Jesus now points out to her the absolute truth about religion and worship. In verse 23, Jesus says this, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." In fact, what Jesus is doing here is saying true worship isn't Mount Gerizim, and it's not the Wailing Wall, and it's not in Jerusalem. True worship is from a human being, from their heart, in spirit and in truth, connected to God who is spirit. Therefore, true worship is our spirit connected with God's spirit. And Jesus is now crossing this religious divide. He is pioneering into the depths of her religion. I wonder what this woman was thinking. I mean, he's accepted her, and he's building her up, but he's challenging every part of her life. But Jesus crossed this religious divide. It went to the depths of her religion. Jesus, in what he was saying, led the woman to God through himself. Jesus is the ultimate pioneer. You remember, he said that he is the Messiah in this passage. I am he. I have living water. I have the truth. I give you the true religion, which is worshiping God through me, who gives you living water. It's through Jesus Christ that we come to God as our Father. And Jesus, in this crossing all of these divides with this woman, he finishes by leading her, by revelation which she received, I believe, into a relationship with God through Jesus. He led her to true worship. And then finally, oh, did I have that up? Finally, what's so good about this? Pioneers make pioneers. Amen? Pioneers make pioneers. Actually, we call this discipleship. This woman at the well has an encounter with Jesus. She has a revelation from Jesus by what he's saying in such a gentle and delicate way, but totally truthful. She believed in Jesus, and then something amazing happens. For me, this proves to me she became a believer in Jesus. We call that a Christian. She became a believer in the truth. She forgets who she is. She becomes a pioneer. And in verse 28, we read this. Then, leaving her water jar, her priorities have changed. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" This woman who's an outcast, this woman who is derived by her own people, this woman has an encounter with Jesus. It changes her from the inside out, and she becomes a pioneer. The outcast goes to the majority. The outcast goes to the majority and says, "Come, come and see Jesus. I've had an encounter with him. He told me everything about me. Things have changed for me. It can change for you as well." She overcame all of her barriers in one fell swoop. One fell swoop, she overcame every barrier that she had in her. She becomes a great evangelist. She brings the people out of the town to meet Jesus. And I think this gives rise to the great teaching that Jesus gives in verse 35 when he said this, "Do not say 4 months and more to the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." I imagine that Jesus saw the whole town coming out to meet him, being led by this woman, this new convert to Jesus who's become a pioneer for her town. And I believe that this vision of being white unto harvest, people wore a lot of white, reflects the sun. And I imagine them in Jesus' day wearing all these white robes, and a bit like Marcia, and we've got a white robe, and then we've got, we've got white here. But they were all coming out, and And Jesus is saying, look at the people. This is a harvest field. Look at the people. They are white. They are ready for harvesting. They're ready to meet Jesus and to have living water come into their lives. So I want to say to you that, I want to ask you, do you see your harvest field? What barriers are you prepared to cross? What places are you prepared to go to bring living water of Jesus to those who don't know him yet? Jesus had a divine appointment. And I know that God has a plan and a purpose for each of us and Salt Church. And he has divine appointments for us to walk into. Divine appointments that will change people's lives, setting them free and connecting them with God as their Heavenly Father. Jesus, the ultimate pioneer, has showed us how to do it. We might need to cross some geography divides. Well, we're doing that with Los Alcázares Church. We might need to actually cross some race divides. All humanity is made in the image of God. There's no place for racism. We certainly need to cross some tradition divides. All of us have come from different places. And I know some of the roots that I've come from are not all correct. As I have grown up as a Christian, I've had to ditch some of the things I used to believe in because the Bible tells me that I got that wrong. We might need to ditch some tradition. We might need to reevaluate what we think about men and women. I was at a Glow yesterday, coming to a close, and I heard a really good sermon that challenged me to the extent that I'm going to check it out, because we need to check it out, about the role of women, the gifts of women in the church. And a new definition about woman being a helpmeet, a helper to man. In fact, what I've looked into is that woman is a spiritual rescuer of man, a spiritual completer of man. There's much more of an equality than a subservientism. And I'm going to research this and look more into it because it challenges some of my traditions. And I might need to rethink some things. But Jesus, in his day, he crossed the woman divide, didn't he? He shocked everybody. They were aghast at what he had done. Jesus crosses prejudice and judgmentalism. And of course, Jesus is the only true religion, isn't he? Jesus is the only true religion in spirit and in truth. So Jesus crossed everything to reach this woman. And in reaching this woman crossed everything to reach other people. Pioneers create pioneers. God's a pioneer. Jesus is the ultimate pioneer. And the last word I want to say is, we at Salt Church are pioneers. Amen.